and of the Holy Spirit. Our first reading today is one of the most important readings in all of Sacred Scripture. It is also from one of the most important books in Sacred Scripture, the Letter to the Hebrews. And the reason why the Letter to the Hebrews is so important is, first of all, it helps us to understand divine revelation, the showing of God to the world. And secondly, it's important because later on, it helps us to understand the sacrifice of Christ, how the sacrifice of Christ, done once and for all upon the cross, is made present to us here and now. Christ is not re-sacrificed, but that sacrifice is made present to us. How is that possible? Well, he's God, and God stands outside of space and time. So we're able to access that divine event, which is something we should all be very grateful for, because none of us here is 2,000 years old, and none of us here, even if we were 2,000 years old, is from the environs of Jerusalem. So if it were not possible to access the sacrifice, those of us who weren't present then would be straight out of luck. But let's look at Revelation. In fact, this portion of Sacred Scripture is so important that it is the portion of Sacred Scripture on which the most important document of the Second Vatican Council is founded upon. You know, it's not the document on the liturgy. It's not even the document on the church. The most important document in the Second Vatican Council is what's called Dei Verbum, the sacred constitution on divine liturgy. On divine revelation. It's very short, too. You know, well, that's just because something's long doesn't mean it's more important. Sometimes what's short and brief has the most impact and covers the most important things. What does St. Paul, and traditionally the Letter to the Hebrews has been attributed to St. Paul, though the scripture scholars will debate that, and not just debate it, they will reject it, but I go with tradition. So St. Paul tells us in the Letter to the Hebrews, "In times past, God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors through the prophets." Well, this is the Old Testament times. God revealed himself, but he didn't show himself completely. He showed himself a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit over here. And why would he do that? For the same reason we don't teach our children calculus in kindergarten. They have to be prepared. You teach a little and you teach according to how people are ready to receive it. And so that is the Old Testament, an incomplete and partial revelation of God, true revelation, but incomplete and partial. Now we come to the meat. "In these last days, he spoke to us through the Son, whom he made heir of all things, and through whom he created the universe." This revelation in Christ is different from the first one because it's not partial and various. It is full and complete. Now, does it tell us everything about God? Well, no, because, you know, we're human beings and we're still, our minds and hearts are clouded by original sin. We will not understand God as completely as we possibly can. We'll never understand God completely because we're finite and he's infinite. But you have to be in heaven and experience the beatific vision to understand God as completely as a human being can understand him. But if we know Christ, we know him as completely as we can in this world. And this is why Revelation was finished and complete in Christ. It's why there are no more prophets in the Old Testament sense, in the sense of the Letter to the Hebrews, of bringing new revelation. There's going to be no new revelation. Some kid in upstate New York is not going to have an angel appear to him and say, "Look, here's some new stuff." Not going to happen. And as St. Paul says in the letter to the Galatians, though we or an angel from heaven preach a gospel to you besides that which has been preached to you, let him be accursed. Anyone who says they're bringing new revelation that is contradictory to the revelation we received in Christ is a liar and is doing the work of the devil, either consciously or unconsciously. There can be no new revelation. But you say, well, what about, you know, when Our Lady appears at Fatima, or when Our Lord appeared to St. Faustina? That's not, first of all, that's not public revelation. It's only binding on those who received it. And it's nothing new. It's just a restating of what has already been taught in Christ, what has already been shown in Christ. And these are very important things for us to know, especially here in Utah, where the majority church claims not only to be able to receive new revelation, but to have received it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.